The three people this week came to me and said God did a miracle in their life because of that message, because they began to cry out to God. Isn't that great? Give the Lord praise. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the sermon. It's about God's Word when we are faithful to do what He says. And that message of crying out, I've had several people come to me through the weekend today to say, are you going to complete that message? You only did half of it. And my answer is no. No, but let me tell you what the gist of it is. That first part was crying out to God. And the second part was camping out before the throne of God. That is, one is verbally expressing to God the angst that's within you, the anxiety, the frustrations, and the prayer requests, and make it known with a loud voice, with an audible voice to the Lord. Cry out to God. It's not about mumbling to God or saying under your breath or saying it in your mind. It's about calling on His name. And God does wonderful things when we do that. The second part is camping out before the throne of God. That is waiting on the Lord. I was using Jacob as one of my illustrations, where Jacob was such a conniver, did everything wrong, did it in the flesh, until one day his brother was coming after him and he thought he was going to lose his life. He got serious with God and camped out at the throne of God and all night long wrestled with a man till the breaking of the day. Now, the Scripture indicates it's a man, but it was the Lord Jesus Himself in pre-incarnate that He was wrestling with. And we know that because when the day was breaking, the man said, let me go. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then Jacob said, tell me your name. And he said, I'm not going to tell you my name, but whatever you request, you got. And he prevailed on the Lord. Well, we need to learn to camp out before the Lord. But I'm not going to preach that message. All right? You got the gist of that. But it ties in with what I'm sharing today. Praying through. We talked about praying for the lost. We really need to do that as we approach this Don Piper event. That we do not do this in the flesh. This is God's work and God brings people to Himself. We need to pray. And then calling out to God, whatever your situation, that you begin to call on the name of the Lord with a loud voice, with your own voice, out loud so He can hear it. And when you pray with an audible voice, Satan hears it and he trembles. Now, I've had some people come to me this week and said, I've always learned you shouldn't pray it out loud because the devil will hear and then he get mad. If you're afraid to get the devil mad, you're not going to accomplish anything in this world. He's your enemy. He's supposed to be mad. And if he's happy with you, you're in trouble. So call on the name of the Lord. And a wonderful songwriter wrote it this way, that when the weakest saint prays, Satan trembles. And I think that's so true. When God's people call on His name, Satan trembles. But there is another spiritual discipline in prayer that we have not addressed. It's one that is overlooked. It is one that is forgotten. It's one that's swept under the carpet. It's one that most of us don't want to get involved with. We hear about it. We think that's for somebody else, or that's for someday when I get old and decrepit, I'll do that spiritual discipline. And the spiritual discipline of prayer that I'm talking about this morning is fasting. Fasting and prayer. A lot of misconceptions about it. A lot of undefined issues. And I want to define those issues for you today. Fasting, or going without food to seek the Lord, is important for us. Now, I think it's quite amazing that most of us have no trouble going without food. You go to the doctor and he says, I want to do a blood test. This is a 14-hour fast. So you can't eat diddly squat for 14 hours before you get your blood checked. And guess what? You do it. How many have ever had that happen? You've done the fast, you've done the blood test. Wow, look at all these fasting people here today. But it's amazing to me and to myself that we do that without batting an eye. We do that with discipline. We don't cheat. You don't run to the refrigerator in the middle of the night and get ice cream because you know the doctor's going to know. You follow through and you do it and you get your blood checked and then you go out for a huge breakfast. Why is it when Jesus says, my people will fast, and He instructs us on fasting and we don't do it? Is your doctor more important than Jesus? Is your physical well-being more important than your spiritual well-being? No. Then we need to learn to do it. It is a discipline. A discipline is making yourself do what you may not want to do because you know it's good for you. It's exactly what you do when the doctor recommends that you go without eating and get your blood test. You're giving up something so you can get something better. I want to share with you about fasting today. For some of you that don't have internet connections, we're going to be putting this on the website under the message. It's a little guide to fasting so that you see some of the things we've talked about here and you can apply them to your lives. If you don't have internet connection, you can stop by the office. I believe they printed some up this morning for you, so keep that in hand. We're going to be looking at fasting and prayer this morning. Prayer is important to us. It is important to pray whether you fast or not, but it's important to pray, and there are some reasons why we pray, and I'll outline a few just real quickly. We pray because God has commanded it. If God's commanded it, we do it. We pray because it's the only way to maintain a healthy relationship with God. We pray because it is the means God has chosen to bring about blessing and answers to prayer. We pray because to neglect prayer is sin. It is backsliding. It is stepping away from the Lord. We pray because it is God's means of pouring out His Spirit into our lives and answering prayer and healing us and doing so many other things. We pray because God is glorified when we pray. We pray because Satan is defeated when we pray. And we pray because Satan trembles when the weakest saint is on his knees praying. You know, there's a lot of good reasons to pray, but there's also a lot of good reasons to pray and fast. And we want to look at that this morning. What is fasting? What is fasting? We're going to look at a few things this morning, but just to introduce that, what is fasting? The Hindus fast, and they fast often. They believe that it's the cleansing of the body, and you go without food, and you do those deliberate, mean things to your body so that it suppresses the body, and when you suppress the body, the spiritual aspect of you will come to the forefront. Now, we don't say that that's what Jesus was talking about. When Jesus told us to fast, He's not talking about suppressing the body so some spiritual thing can come out. He doesn't consider the body to be evil. The body is not evil according to the Word of God. So we need to understand that Jesus was not talking about being a Hindu. He didn't want you to take the lotus position and sit with your legs crossed and do this and go, That's not fasting. That's fasting in Hindus, but that's not fasting in the Christian world. Mahatma Gandhi was a great man, and he practiced fasting as civil disobedience. Next slide, please. Stay with me. Come on. Mahatma Gandhi was a great man, and he practiced fasting as civil disobedience. He was in India, and he took the plight of the people, the untouchable people, and he began to protest the British government for their treating of those, and he was very famous, and people got behind him, and when he fasted, the British government had to come to their knees because they didn't want him to die. If he died, there would be a revolution. Mahatma Gandhi used fasting as a civil way of manipulating people and getting things done. That is not the fasting of Jesus. We don't fast so we can manipulate God or people. Jesus never taught us to do that. Some of you may have seen the movie Gandhi back in 1982, all 188 minutes of it. I remember because it's the longest movie I ever watched. Some of you in the rest of the service are going to be going, 188 minutes, 60 minutes. It's about 3 hours and 10 minutes long. But the movie was powerful to show that there was a man of discipline that lost a lot of weight and eventually died because of his fasting stuff. God's not asking you to die. That's not the teaching of Jesus. Then we have the American Indians. And there are some tribes of American Indians that practice the vision quest. And fasting is a part of that. And some tribes, it's practiced this way. One of their medicine men or their holy men will take that 16-year-old boy, send him to the highest point and say, go seek for a vision from God. And that person will go up there and stake out a 10-foot circle around him. Some of them do squares with flags around it. But the same idea is that you go and you sit there without food and some of them without water until the vision comes. They are out there seeking to know the animal that's their guide, the God's direction for their life and their vision for what is to come. I'll tell you, I think I would make up a vision after 4 days. You begin to want, you start to see things. Oh, yeah, medicine man, I saw something. Yeah, I saw it. That is not the fasting of Jesus. Jesus' fasting is different than all other religions. He gives us the instructions for why and the how and the what of this fast. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew contains all the ingredients that we need to know about fast taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, first of all, what it is, then what to do, and how to do it. All of that is instruction from the Lord. I wish it was chronological that we could follow it chronologically, but it's a little mixed here. So we start with chapter 9, then 17, and then chapter 6. But if you'll follow along, you'll see that there's good reason behind this in the way the Lord is instructing us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We ask the question, what is this thing, fasting, in the Christian realm? What is this thing that Jesus wanted us to do in fasting? Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15 address the issue, but it's repeated in three of the Gospels. Both Matthew, Mark, and Luke contain the same information, emphasizing the importance of this truth of fasting. I'm going to read the Mark passage because it's a little bit bigger, but it's the same in essence as the Matthew. And the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast, and they came and said to him, said to Jesus, "Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days." Jesus gives us the what of this fast. He is giving us an illustration of the bridegroom. That means the groom. We, believers, are the bride of Christ, the lover of Christ. And Jesus says to his disciples, to the people that were asking the question, "My disciples have me with them. I am here. I am physical. I am tangible. They talk to me. They walk with me. They eat with me. They can touch the hem of my garment. I can touch them. There's a physical connectedness with me. While that's happening, they have no need to fast." Why? Because fasting is longing after something that's not there. Longing for an intimacy with God that you don't have at the moment. And Jesus made it very clear that his disciples would fast one day because he was going to be taken away. This gives us some instruction concerning what is this fast all about. A fast is longing after God. A fast is hunger for God. There are two books I want to recommend for you to read. The first one is A Hunger for God by John Piper. Not Don Piper, but John Piper the preacher. Wonderful book where John Piper the preacher, in all of the book, details for us how that fasting is giving up something pleasurable for something more pleasurable. Never thought of it that way, did you? Fasting is giving up something pleasurable for something more pleasurable. It is giving up food so that you might hunger for God. You see, most of us have the idea that we could somehow buy God's merit, and this fast is a meritorious thing. We can impress God. He's going to look down from heaven, and perhaps the angels looking down are going to nudge each other and say, "Let's tell our Father about this. Pastor Dick went without one meal. Whoa. I'm impressed." God doesn't get impressed with your fasting. Doesn't matter if you're doing one meal or 40 days. God's not impressed by your physical abstinence. The abstinence, the going without something, is for you. Hello? You're the one with the body, and your body gets in the way of seeking God. That's the point. You don't believe me? Everybody look down at your tummy. What's the biggest part of your body? Don't answer that. For most of us, we've got the middle age spread. Even if you're young and you got that flat tummy, get ready. Because it's coming. And one of the things we do is we keep feeding ourselves. All the things that we eat go in to accumulate. We got more than enough of what we need to sustain us, right? We've got an overabundance, and it really flows over. There's nothing wrong with food. There's nothing wrong with abundance. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, most of us are starving for the presence of God and the power of God in our lives. We're starving for God. We're starving for His hand. We're starving for His presence. We're starving for everything that God is. John Piper writes about this and says, guys, we need to get serious about hunger for God. There's another book. It's by Elmer Towns called Fasting for Spiritual Breakthroughs. Wonderful book. And by the way, mine is missing in the office. If you happen to have it and borrowed it on one of our prayer retreats, I need it back. And if you can't find it, you can buy me another one. Just kidding. Use it and enjoy it. But these two books are significant in learning about fasting. Back to our original premise here. Point number one, what is this fast? Jesus said it's about loving God with all your heart. It's about falling in love with Jesus and wanting Him more than you want food. Whoa. Wanting God, wanting Jesus more than you want food. That's incredible. Dr. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance some 120, 130 years ago, wrote concerning this intimate relationship with God, this love affair with our Heavenly Father, in a hymn that's in your hymn book. It's called Himself. It goes like this. He talks about his own seeking for God's hand and God's blessings. And he says, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was for feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver own. He goes on through that whole hymn talking about, I used to seek God's hand. I used to seek God's blessing, His answers to prayer, His touch in my life. Now I seek the Master. I seek Jesus. Friend, most of us don't know what that means. You see, we're self-satisfied. We're in our culture that's a self-indulgent culture. We want to be comfortable. Look at your pew. Everybody stand up for a moment. And I do that because if I see somebody getting sleepy, I always have you stand up. Look behind you at the pew. What's there? It's a cushion. Sit down again. I like you comfortable, but I hate it when I go to a church and they have the old wooden pews. Talk about the old rugged cross. They must have carved it up for pews. The old rugged cross underneath doesn't make me comfortable, and especially if they're using funeral chairs. You remember the old funeral chairs, the old wooden ones? There's no back hardly at all, and you're sitting on that thing. It's agony. We're in a comfort zone. We're in a culture that wants us to be comfortable. That's what we deserve. And then we look at the Christian commands of Christ, the commands of our Lord Jesus, and we say, we kind of put an overlay on that and say, yeah, but we are Americans. And that's not for us. We're supposed to be comfortably blessed. You know, there ought to be in the heart of every believer a longing after God. When I first read Don Piper's book, you know what my response was? I wept when he described heaven. I wept because that's my home. That's what I long for. That's what I was created for, is where God is and where Jesus Christ is. And I'm not interested in the gates, the pearly gates. I'm not interested in the streets of gold. I'm not going to be able to chip any of that off anyway. I'm interested in seeing my Savior, Jesus, face to face. I'm going to go running down the streets of gold. I won't even notice that. I'm going to fall at His feet and say, Jesus, You saved me. That song we sang just before the message, what a wonderful, remember what He did for you. Do you remember the day that you were saved? The day that you first met Jesus. When I sang that today, I wept again. I said, Lord Jesus, I remember that day. I never felt closer to You. Fasting is about bringing back that closeness to the Lord, coming before Him and seeking Him. It was George Mueller, that great man of faith that established five orphanages and housed and fed 16,500 children in his lifetime, a ministry of over 70 years, and he did it all by faith. He never asked for a dime from anybody, but he prayed God's blessings in, and God met every need. As a matter of fact, somebody has done the calculations that George Mueller prayed in. It's incredible. $170 million without ever asking anyone for anything except God. Later in life, somebody interviewed him and asked him, how did you have such how do you prevail with God? In other words, how do you twist God's arm to get the things you want? And George Mueller says, you've got the wrong view, because my ministry is not the issue here. My orphanages are not the issue. The provisions of God are not the issue. I do one thing and one thing only. I've done it every day of my life for 70 years. I get up in the morning and I make myself happy in the Lord. And when I'm happy in Him, He's pleased with me. Did you get that? I do one thing. I make myself happy in the Lord. And when I'm happy in Him, He's pleased with me. And whenever I ask Him something and He's pleased with me, He gives me what I ask. Wow. I love that. Fasting is about getting happy in Jesus. Getting away to a place of prayer and loving the Lord more than you love food or entertainment or anything else. That's what fasting is. In the church of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11:6, it says this. This is the definition of faith and what faith is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, please Him. For he that comes to God must first of all believe that He is. Pause there. How many of you believe in God? You believe God exists. Okay, raise your hand. There are a few hands that are not up. Nudge them, they're asleep. Okay, put your hand down. Hard to find anybody that does not believe in God. As a matter of fact, James goes on to say in the book of James that the devil believes and trembles. Doesn't do him any good at all. Believing in God doesn't save you. It doesn't build a relationship with God. It's the starting place. But the second half comes at the last of this verse. Must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Underline that. It didn't say those that diligently seek for answers to prayer, or those that seek provisions, or those that seek healing. He rewards those who seek Him. That's the distinction that Jesus is talking about here. It's fasting is not about the stuff we get from God. Fasting is about God and getting Him. And somebody says, well, then I don't want to do it. Then you don't know the Lord Jesus. Like I know Jesus. I met Him. Everything in my life has changed. I was 4 years old. Everything in my life changed even at 4 years old. God put in my heart a longing for heaven, a longing for Jesus, a longing for what God wants. Do you have that? The bridegroom isn't here. He's in heaven. And therefore, because He's in heaven, we long after Him and we fast, looking for that relationship to come together in intimacy so that when we ask God for things, we are pleasing in His sight and He hears and answers. The second thing we ask is, why do we do it? Why do we fast? And that's found in Matthew 17, verses 19 to 21. Turn to the passage. Your translation may be a little bit different than mine, and that's important in this passage. Matthew 17, 19 to 21. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart. What had just happened was a little boy had this convulsion and he kept throwing himself into the fire and a demon was present. And they tried to cast out the demon. They did everything they knew how to do and nothing happened. And finally, somebody got a hold of Jesus and said, Jesus, help, please. And Jesus cast out the demon. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast it out? And He said to them, because of your little faith. I want you to underline that. Because of your little faith. You could not cast the demon out because you didn't have enough faith. For verily I say to you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, that's the tiniest seed that exists, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence and go to another place, and it will remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. I'm going to read that again, and I want you to respond to it the way the disciples must have, and we should. I want you to go, wow. I want you to show some emotion in this, because Jesus has just made a promise to His disciples. He said, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, the least little faith, and you will say to this mountain, be removed and go to another place, it shall remove, it shall go, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Wow. If you can't whistle, go fast and pray till you learn. We need some kind of emotion when we read Scriptures, because this is a Scripture that says this is far beyond what you've ever experienced. That you say to a mountain, move, and it's going to be done. Why? Jesus relates it to fasting. Look at the next passage in verse 21. You don't have verse 21 in your NIV because they took it out. If you don't have it there, you ought to have it there. They say, oh, because it's not in the most ancient manuscripts I don't have. I say, leave it alone. It agrees with all the other scriptures. Leave it in there because it makes sense of the passage. But this kind, this demon, this species of demon does not go out but by prayer and fasting. Underline that. This thing is not going to be accomplished except you learn to pray and fast. Here's two reasons Jesus gives us for the why of fasting. Number one reason, it builds our faith. When you get alone with God and you soak up in Him and you do what the song says there, you remember all His works, you go through the mighty things that God has done, you see His miracles, you read the Scriptures, that builds your faith. And without faith, you can't please Him. And so we need that time alone with God in which we build faith. Yeah, you have your devotions, but that's not enough. You had a snack bar. Is that enough for the rest of the day? No. You say, no way. I got to have substance. Yeah, and Jesus is saying, you got to have substance to your faith. You got to get alone with God and read the Scriptures. One of the things we do when we fast is we ought to just inundate ourselves with Scripture. Read a whole book of the Bible or two or three in your time of fasting. Let those Scriptures roll over you. Review the miracles that God has done in Scripture and praise Him for it, just like the song said. Most of us don't spend time doing that, and so our faith is little. The second thing He says is going to happen is you'll have power with God and Satan will tremble. This kind, this species, this demonic activity will not be removed except you learn to fast and pray. You see, fasting and prayer gets you so close to the presence of God that when you speak, Satan trembles. When you speak, he trembles, not just when you pray. When you say, Satan, get out of here, Satan runs. Give me an amen. Amen. Boy, I've had some people come to me in the last 2 weeks because I'm preaching on prayer, and they said, I always thought if you pray out loud, Satan's going to get mad. Bless you. I appreciate the question. If you're an immature saint, you're a new Christian. But if you've been a Christian for years and you've been practicing that you don't say anything to God out loud because Satan listens and he'll get mad, then you're on the wrong side. Your job is to make Satan mad. Hello, he's the enemy. You make him happy, you're on the wrong side. Don't look to make him happy. Satan does not read your mind. But when you pray something out loud, when you say it out loud, he gets scared because he knows his time is limited. And when you are a man and woman of God that has spent lots of time with the Lord in fasting and prayer, you know Jesus, you walk with Jesus, his power's on you, his anointing's on you. When you speak and not just when you pray, he runs. Every believer needs to make it his business to make Satan run. And he's not going to run from you because you have devotions for 5 minutes a day. He'll tremble, but he's not running. We fast and pray because Jesus said, without it, you can't do what I just did. We don't bribe God by our fast. He's not impressed with it. It's not a marathon to see how long you can go without food. It's not God's pity looking down and saying, oh, poor little guy, he's getting skinny. We better answer or he's going to die. God is not impressed by those things. You don't need to be like the pagans trying to get God's attention and doing something to harm yourself. That's not the purpose of the fast. The purpose of the fast is we fast that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let me read off some things that Elmer Towne says in his book on fasting for spiritual breakthrough. He identifies a number of reasons to fast and pray. We pray and fast for the Holy Spirit's anointing for a special ministry. We pray and fast for the revelation of God to come and reveal His will. We pray for wisdom in making important decisions. We pray answers to prayer in times of crisis. We pray for our nation and its moral decline. And we pray for our elections. My friends, the election's coming. There's a good time to fast and pray. We pray for lost souls. Don Piper's event is coming. We need to be fasting and praying, not just praying about it. We pray for understanding of God's Word when we don't get it. We pray for deliverance in the time of trouble. We pray for deliverance from Satan when he seems to be winning. We pray for miracles when everything else seems to be lost. We pray for miraculous provisions of God because we don't have enough. We pray for boldness and favor before magistrates when we're caught in a lawsuit. We pray for healing from a prolonged disease. We fast and pray for employment when we don't have it. We pray for God to send help in the time of trouble because help's not coming from anywhere. And we pray for God to send revival. My friend, those are some reasons, not all of them, why we fast and pray. God longs to do those things. But He's not going to do it unless our faith is what it ought to be. I get stirred up. Let me rest a moment. That's enough. Moving on to the third point. The third point. How should we fast? How do we do this thing of fasting? And do it biblically. Do it according to Jesus. We find that in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Got it? I want you to write in your Bibles. Get your pens ready, your pencil, or whatever you write in. If you don't like to write in your Bible, then your kids will never inherit your Bible. There's nothing there. Nothing written in the margins. No memory of what God has done and what God has said. Write in your Bible if it's yours. Don't write it if it's not yours. It says, when you fast. I want you to write your name in there. I'm going to write mine. Dick, when you fast. He's talking to you. He's talking to individuals, not just a group of people. He's talking to individuals. When you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they receive their reward in full. But you, put your name in there, but you, Dick, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. I love that. Put oil on your head and wash your face so that it is not obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. I love that. We're not interested in open rewards. That's not the point. The point is that God sees in secret. When you do this in secret, God is witnessing to it, and God will reward you for it. Look at verse 17. When you fast, here's what you do. Put oil on your head and wash your face. I need you to look at me for a moment. Look at my hair. I thank God I still have it. And I thank God that it's not all white yet. My brothers, who are younger than I, one's older, several younger, one's almost bald, one has white hair. Well, several have white hair. When I go home, they say, what are you doing to your hair? Are you dyeing your hair? Are you coloring your hair? And the answer is, no, I do not color my hair. And they say, you liar. I am not lying. I thank God. I'm 61 years old, and I still got most of my colored hair. And there's a secret behind that. Well, Marilyn's the other secret behind that. Now I'm not going to tell you my secret. Now I want to tell you a secret because people come to me and they accuse me of using some kind of toner or something, Grecian formula, whatever, for men. I don't use that, but there is something I've done and I learned it from Scripture. And every morning when I take my shower, for the last 30 years or more, I do the same thing. I take my shower and then I anoint my head with oil. Not cod liver oil, not motor oil, but Johnson & Johnson's baby oil. I rub it on my face and then rub it through my hair and then rub it all over. That's all you need to know. I do that for 30 years. The effect is incredible. That is the only thing I've done different than my brothers. So I recommend you, if you're gray already, too late, baby, now it's too late. But if you'd like to keep your hair fresh, then do the baby oil thing. Jesus mentions it here because the Israelites did the same kind of thing. They anointed their head with oil. That means they brightened their face. When I do that, my skin glows for about a half hour. I have dry skin. That's really why the reason I do that. But its effects are seen by everybody. Jesus said, when you fast, don't go around looking like a sourpuss. What's the matter with you today, Pastor? Fasting. I'm hungry. I have a friend of mine. He was a pastor in the Alliance Church, and for years, about every other year, he fasted for 40 days. And he came to me one day because his church was mad at him for praying. He said, Pastor Dick, they're just mad at me for praying. My church is ungodly. They don't care for their pastor. And I said, well, tell me about how you're doing this fast. And he says, well, I announced to the congregation I'm going to be fasting for 40 days. And then every time somebody talks to me, they ask me why I'm getting so skinny, and I tell them, well, I'm fasting. He says, if I go over to people's house to visit, I can't eat because I'm fasting. So I say, would you have a cup of water? Would you give me a bowl of soup if they happen to be having dinner? He said, I went to a pastor's conference and I sat around the table with 10 other men and the waiter came and he took the orders of everybody. And I said, could I have broth? No meat in it, just broth. And everybody says, why? I'm fasting. I'll tell you why your church is mad at you. You broke the scriptures. The scripture says, do it in secret. Don't announce it to everybody. Look, if you're in a 40-day fast, stop going to pastors' breakfasts or lunches. If you're in a 40-day fast, don't go to people's house and say, give me something to drink. Just stay clear of it and don't mention it and let God be God. You're doing this before the Lord. Stop flaunting it. He told me, he said, by the end of 40 days, he was a pretty hefty guy. He said, by the end of 40 days, I look like Gandhi. Man, I wonder if a fast like that is effective, if you're broadcasting it. You see, Jesus wants us to understand that our fast is before the Lord, not before men. It's to be done in secret before Him, and He will reward you abundantly. Let me give you some secrets on this. It's not on the PowerPoint, but you write it down. I'll give you some hints how to do your fast. Number one, determine the purpose of your fast. I always do this in my prayer journal. I write it down in my notebook. And I write it down. Lord, I am making a covenant with you that I am going to fast, whether it's one day, one meal, or 5 days, or 40 days, or whatever else. I've never done 40 days. Probably never will. I get hungry. Determine the purpose of the fast. What is its purpose? If it's just to impress God, forget it. It's not going to happen. The purpose needs to be according to what we listed. You have something that you're seeking God for. You need your relationship with God to be more intimate, more fellowship. You need to know God. You need His anointing on your life. You need His power in your life. Then make that a determined purpose. I write down the purpose before the Lord. Secondly, decide the duration of the fast. You don't need to do a 40-day fast. Most people can't and shouldn't because they're not ready for that. Start with one meal. How many of you can't go without one meal? You do when you get a blood test. You can do it. You just don't discipline yourself to do it. So decide one meal or 1 day of going without food, or 1 week, or 3 days, or a month, or 40 days, whatever it is. Decide the duration before the Lord. It's not other people's business what you're doing. Don't go announcing it to anybody. Decide the duration. It's between you and the Lord. And then decide the kind of fasting it is. There are other kinds of fasting besides food. Did you know that? Daniel fasted before the Lord in Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. And when he fasted, he said, I ate no pleasant food, and no meat came into my mouth, and I didn't drink any wine. You see, that's a modified fast. It's a fast that he determined before the Lord in advance what he was going to do. He ate, but he didn't eat all the stuff he was going to eat before. When I was a young pastor, I tried fasting. I heard about it. It was good for you. Made you a powerful pastor. So I wanted to do it. So I went to the Lord, and I said, oh, I'm going to define a fast. I'm not going to eat on Tuesday. And so I determined not to eat, and I tried to go. And about 11 o'clock in the morning, my hands are shaking like this. My eyes are bulging out. I didn't drink my coffee in the morning, and that's a bad thing. And I'm going through about 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm like this, Jesus, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on. I'll tell you, I endured. I went through the entire day. And when I got done with the day, I said, Lord, that wasn't much fun. Because all I could think about all day long was food. See, God's purpose is not to make you think about food all day long. I'm hypoglycemic. I didn't know it at the time, but my blood sugar takes a nosedive. And if I don't get something into me, I do that. I start to tremble and I get headaches and I get all that other stuff going on and I can't pray. So God taught me, do a modified fast. That's you. Do it before me. Don't have to tell other people about it. Do a modified fast. So my modified fast is juices and soups. Without meats and stuff in it, but juices and soups before the Lord, and I allow myself one solid thing to eat. You know what it is? Saltine crackers. No, it's not chocolate. Saltine crackers with nothing on them. Mmm, good. But you know, it's not about the food. It's about meeting the physical need, is to have some kind of system so that I can survive. I found with crackers, I could be just as satisfied as with a meal. Eating them very slowly before the Lord and going, blah. But it's enough to quell the tremors and get me through, so I'm not thinking about food. I'm thinking about the Lord. And every time I bite a cracker, I say, Lord, I'm hungry for you more than I'm hungry for this food. I'll tell you, that's the way to do a fast. My friends, you don't have to just fast about food. Most of us need to fast about some other things too, like fasting from entertainments. All of us would do well to fast for a whole week from television. I didn't hear that many amens. Fasting from entertainment is part of the fast too. You don't have to be involved with food, but to say to the Lord, Lord, this week I am going to seek your face. Instead of going into my den or into my family room and watching TV in the evening, I'm going to shut that door and I'm going to my bedroom, or I'm going into my study, or I'm going into some other prayer closet, and I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to listen to worship music, and I'm going to pray and seek your face every night of the week. Do it for 5 nights. You'll find it's transforming. And you won't miss the programs anyway. You know, we need to learn to fast from things like coffee and sweets and TV and movies and internet and entertainment and sports. Guys, what a wonderful fast to give to the Lord, that you would say, Lord, I'm going to fast Monday night football. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to go without that so I could seek you, because you're more important than football to me. And all God's football fans said, no way, Jose. It's not about football. It's not about your pleasure. It's about wanting God more than you want other things, and saying it in some symbolic way that I want Jesus more than I want. Nobody else can tell you what to do. I'm not going to legislate what you fast, but you need to do it as a discipline, because it builds your spiritual life. And then finally, designate. You've got to determine the purpose, decide the duration, define the kind of fasting, and designate where you're going to spend your fast. You can't fast and be effective while you're around people. If you're fasting your lunch hour at work, you need to go somewhere private during that lunch hour and be alone with God and use that time for prayer and reading of the Word and soaking up God's presence. You see, I know many people that fast once a week, but they go through their work schedule just like nothing's happening. Fasting in itself doesn't work. There's no validity to just going without food and calling that a fast. It's called fasting and prayer. Get it together. They're married. You go without food so that you can seek something better. I want to seek the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So you need to go to a special place. I have a friend that does it once a month. He goes to a large university library and cloisters himself in the back corner somewhere. And he has his list of prayer requests. He has his devotions. He has his earbuds. And he's listening to worship music. He's going for prayer walks around the campus. And he comes back. And he's got a routine that he walks through. My friends, you got to fast. And if you're going to fast, you got to pray. You got to find a place where it's away from everybody else. If you're at home, then find a closet where you go in. Yeah, that could be a literal closet. I wouldn't recommend, if you're doing a four-hour fast, that you use the only bathroom in your house. It's not going to work. You got to find a quiet place. Go out to the garage. Build a little shed out back and go there to be alone with the Lord. Go to a retreat center if it's a longer period of time that you're fasting and seeking the Lord. But get away from distractions so that you designate, Lord, I am giving this time to you, and I am going to be in this place to meet with you. And God promises, if we meet him where we're at, meet him in this hour of fast, he will meet us. Nobody can tell you how to fast, how long to fast, where to fast, or what to fast. God wants to lead you in that. Let him speak to your heart this week about what you should do in the realm of fasting. Some of you, now I'm going to stop preaching, I'm going to go to meddling. Some of you need to fast from the internet, because it has become the stumbling block for you over and over and over again. And some of you, because it causes you to stumble, need to burn up your computers or destroy it, because it's destroying you. Fasting is letting go of that thing that may be good, but it's not as good as knowing the Lord. And you let it go for God's glory. Here's a quote from a great man of God, Richard Foster in Celebration of Discipline. If you've never read that book, put it on your list. You've got to read this book. It's about spiritual disciplines. Celebration of Discipline, he says, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that really count or really control us. The question today is, have you fasted? Are you seeking the Lord? I love that statement of George Mueller. I make myself happy in the Lord, and when I'm happy in Him, He's most pleased with me. That is what a fast is all about.